Good morning. So as I just expressed in the announcement time, that last week we had a conference, which is the main body of the United Methodist Church, and that body decided not to continue or not to allow Methodist churches where the same-sex marriage can be performed, or they allowed against gay ordination. And I of within these congregations are very upset, very sad, and feel betrayed by the church. And I want to express my sympathy, and I want to express my care, and I want to express the fact that I am with you in your journey. And one of the questions we might ask, that what is our stand as a Good Samaritan church? You know, as a Good Samaritan church, we have been always a welcoming congregation. Amen? We want to invite people in deeper relationship with Christ. We want people to grow in the Christian discipleship. We want people to become more like Christ every day. And in order to do that, we have to keep our hearts, our minds, and our doors open. When we look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the key examples we see in his life, that there was never a time in his ministry where he has asked anybody not to come to him. Some of the worst individuals or considered worst individuals during Jesus' time, they were all welcome. Samaritan people, those who were hated by Jews in during Jesus' time, they felt so comfortable coming to Christ. Tax collector during Jesus' time, they were acting against their own people, working for Roman government, and Jesus welcomed them, and they felt so at peace with Jesus. The story of about a woman who was caught in adultery, and in front of everybody, Jesus forgave her sin. And in other words, the only way, dear people of God, that we can be effective church and we can reach to as many as people possible is that we would keep our doors, our minds, and our hearts open for other people to walk in, and they will find connection with Jesus Christ, and they will grow in Christian discipleship, and they become like Jesus. And so that is the commitment of my personal commitment, and that is the commitment of Good Samaritan Church. Amen?
Amen.
Continually pray for our church. Continually pray for our church. We need wisdom, we need guidance, we need clarity. And so in order to prepare for this sermon, as I wrote in my connection letter, this is the first time I've ever done that I have not prepared my sermon almost a while ago. This was the only time where I wrote to you, I think I sent you my email on Friday, and I was still thinking about what I should do. I was still praying, and so again, this is the first time in my history, which is like, you know, as you can see me, less than like 30 years. Anyway, so this is the first time I've ever done that, and kind of just to be very open and frank with you, I wrote my sermon last night at 5 o'clock, like, is it early morning? And I was planning to wake up and go through it two more times, and guess what? I couldn't wake up on time. So I need a lot of work of the Holy Spirit in my life this morning. But as I was thinking, and I was reading a lot of blogs and watching a lot of videos of people's, you know, how people are reacting to that, I got two blogs. And one of the blog was sent by, I think, Dolly, and it is written by Ted Larson. He was the church member here, and he wrote an amazing blog about the whole thing. And how he started with the history of the United Methodist Church. And you know, Barbara, as you were reading today, that even though you were here before the church became united, and today was the first time I realized that it is meaningful for us this morning. Because In 1968, this church became a United Methodist Church. Prior to that, this church was a Brethren Evangelical Church, right? Evangelical Brethren. Thank you, Joy. But this was Brethren Church. Let's just shorten it. And so there was another United Methodist Church, and this is a Brethren Church. And so many Brethren churches, they came together and became United Methodist Church. And so in that way, our history is around 50 years old. So we have been United Methodist Church for 50 years. And one of the things they wanted to do, Brethren Church especially, one of their requirements at that time was they wanted to make this church even more open to those who were considered outside of the church. And so at that time, African American were really included in the church and even also extended to other parts of the world where there was a strong emphasis on going out of America and doing ministry outside of America, including Africa, in Russia, in Philippines, and so many parts of the world. So the Methodist Church is actually a huge church. With the church, we started with John Wesley and the influence of John Wesley. There are almost 100 million people all around the world. They might consider themselves not necessarily United Methodists, but Methodist-influenced churches. Like, for example, Nazarene Church is a John Wesley's church. It came from the John Wesley's theology. And so it is a huge influence of John Wesley. But then United Methodist Church, there are around 12 million people worldwide. And in America, we have around 7 million of United Methodist members, and other 5 to 6 million are living outside of America. And so when we became a United Methodist Church, one of the strong emphasis, dear people of God, as a church in America was to reach out and help as many people as possible, to educate, to support in their journey with their faith. And often when you read our bishop's emails, he often encourages us to support African University, to support the ministries that are happening all over the world. And so as a church, we have been so committed to support people outside and, you know, in other parts of the world. And so when we support people, they get educated. Amen? That is our goal. They also get freedom. Amen? Because that is our goal. We also want them to have a free thinking. Amen? And once in a while, that creates a problem. Because I was thinking about my own family. I want my daughters to grow in a very healthy, educated environment. I want them to go to base school. I want them to have all the education classes I can provide. I want them to have all the positive experiences they could have. And I know they're going to grow one day, and when they're 16 and 17, and one day they will tell me something which is like, whoa, 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 where are we going with this now, whole thing? Because I am Democrat, and now you're telling me you're going to be Republican? How is that going to work out in my life? Because how many of us have children, or who knows those who have teenage children, and how many of you know that most of the time children does something different than you want them? How many of you have that experience? And in so many ways, dear people of God, we have empowered people around the world to make their choices. And once in a while, like our own teenage children, sometimes our own family members make different choices than us. And so what do we do with those? What do we do with our own children? Because you have a different way of looking at the political system, you're not my children anymore. I'm not going to care for you anymore. You cannot talk to me anymore because you have chosen a different lifestyle. You're not part of my family. How do we handle people, those who have different thinking than us? And of course, dear people of God, the scripture is very clear. We have to continually love them. Amen? Amen. Now, I know my daughters are still under 11 years old, and they are so beautiful, and they are so cute, and they have a face painting, and it is so easy to love them. But I know they'll become 18 and 19. 15. Well, and as a family, we have actually contract with them that they're not going to date till they're 25 years old. So I'm fine. There is already signed document, so this is all going to be okay. But you know how it is going to be a conversation. It is going to be a difficult conversation, but I'm going to continually love them. I'm going to continually be with them. I will continually walk with them in their journey and be their dad as the best dad I can be. And so, dear people of God, I know we have so many emotions, but let us continually love our sisters and brothers whom we have somewhat empowered. You know, I also had an opportunity to actually hear all the debates. Because when I read all the blogs, I hear so much about the decision which was made. And often people really haven't paid attention to really debate what exactly happened. But, you know, because I had a privilege to be in my office and on my computer and go online and had a, you know, I could see live debate and conversation. And I had opportunity to hear people's opinion, especially hear people from African countries, from Russia, from Philippines, and different parts of the world. And you know, somebody would come from Ghana, and somebody would come from Sudan, and somebody would come from Philippines, and all that. And I was like, every time when they would come to Mike, and I think like, okay, how, what that person is going to say, how they're going to express themselves. And as they start to talk, so impressive. I mean, they would speak in English much better than mine. And their arguments are so packed. You can see passion on their faces. And one of the things they told constantly, that if you go for any other decision, you are basically murdering church in Africa. You're killing church in Africa because other decisions would constantly go against our own government, because we live in a society, we live in a political system where homosexuality is illegal. And here you are trying to promote us to actually promote in some ways. And so there were lots of argument back and forth. And again, this is not a justification, but this is an understanding, dear people of God, that their experiences and our experiences are very, very different. Their educational background and our educational background is so different. Most of these people live in almost 90% of the Muslim population country, whereas we live in a very, very free society. And so their decision and other people's decisions comes with that ideology, comes with that idea. And so we are here given an opportunity to constantly love them and care for them and support them and recognize that we do have a difference of opinion. Amen? We do have difference of opinion. We do think a little bit different on certain matters. But we are called by God to constantly be with one another. Because I know heaven, the scripture says in book of Revelation, that people from every tribe, every nation, every language group, every color will be there praising God. And it is possible that you might hold somebody's hand who might have really voted different than you might have voted. You're going to stuck with that person for eternity. Start hanging out right now. Amen?
Amen.
So Barbara is going to read scripture for us. Now let me, Barbara, before you come, let me just introduce the scripture. So as I was thinking and praying about it, and I said, God, tell me what you have for your people this morning. And so there is a communications coming from United Methodist Church. And this particular sermon is a whole stolen sermon. I'm just telling you in front of the church. So that was an encouragement by one of the pastors. And he said, this is what I'm going to share to my congregation. And as I was thinking and praying about it, I went and talked with my mentor, Pastor Kathy, and she's a pastor at Los Altos Church, and she's going to be there today. That is her church. And she's my mentor, and as I was talking with her, you know, we both were actually like struggling what to share. And then she told me that, hey, Raju, these are some of the things I'm going to share. And interestingly, what this person is saying and what I was saying and what Kathy was saying, it all started to sync together. And that's where I felt that Holy Spirit is in this. That's what I felt peace about it. And that's what I feel comfortable to share with you. So this scripture is coming from Book of Numbers. People of Israel, they have been freed by God, and now they're in their way to the promised land. And they're in the wilderness journey. And as they're in the wilderness journey, like all of us, they want to go to the promised land as soon as possible. But they were stuck with one interesting thing, and that is like they cannot go without God's presence in their lives. And one of the ways God's presence would be reflected is the cloud up in the sky. As long as the cloud is moving, they would move to that direction. That is a symbol of God's presence. If the cloud would not move, then they would have to stay at some place. And so Barbara is going to read that scripture for us, please.
The scripture is Numbers 9, 15 to 23. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. The word of God for the people of God.
So the first word is pause. Did you see in that particular scripture where it says sometimes they would be at one place for a week and a month? And they said even sometimes they'll be there for years because cloud would not move. They didn't find direction. Now, these people have been freed from their slavery. They want to go to the promised land as soon as possible. They don't have time to pause. They don't have luxury to wait. They want to go to that blessing which God has promised to them as soon as possible. But as we read in the scripture, that sometimes God would ask them pausing. Sometimes God would ask them to stay at a place. Now, when I think about our church, dear people of God, that we are all redeemed in the blood of Christ. Amen? And we are on our promised land. And once in a while, as we're walking fast, as we're going forward, once in a while, the cloud stops and we are encouraged to pause. And I think this is that time to pause. It is okay to pause for a few minutes or a few days, but once in a while it goes for weeks and months. It is difficult to pause. I know, because we want to move ahead. We have a place to go. Our GPS is telling, hey, we know where to go. Why are you pausing? What's wrong with you? And as a church, dear people of God, we are new Israel. And as we are in our journey, this is a time to pause and think. This is a time to pause and reflect. This is a time to wonder that how Holy Spirit is going to help us in our journey. Because it is possible that If we are so impatient, we might still walk, and then we will be on our own. We will walk on our own without guidance of the Holy Spirit. And as you and I know, as a church, it is better to walk with God and Holy Spirit than to walk on our own. There are times I have tried to walk on our own, my own, and then it didn't go that far. I had to come back, realizing that this is a miserable time without God. This is a miserable place without having God walking with me, without guidance of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so I want to encourage myself. I want to encourage us as a church. I want to encourage us as a denomination and as a larger church that let us pause. There is nothing wrong in pausing. There is nothing wrong in waiting. There is nothing wrong to be at place for a while. In fact, as we're pausing, we will be able to get to know one another more. Amen? We will be able to spend time with one another. We will be able to eat together. We will be able to have certain conversations which we might not have as we're walking toward a particular direction. We might be rested. We might get new insights, new vision. Let us pause. Let us pause. The second one we see here is listening. They had to constantly listen to God. They had to wait upon God and say, God, where you want us to go? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. God, I want to go to this direction, but I want to make sure that it is safe and you go with me. I want to be careful what I say to people. And before I say something, I want to listen to you. And again, it is so difficult, dear people of God, to listen. You know, some of us went through that Stephen Ministry, seminar. And like there's a whole big book. They spent a whole day on just how to listen. Can you imagine? Like you just keep your mouth shut and listen, right? It doesn't work like that. It is not that easy. We got to listen, dear people of God. We got to be attentive to the voice of God. We got to make sure that this is the voice of God and this is the voice of somebody else. And whom I'm going to follow. Because there are a lot of emotions. There are voices here and there. And as a church, I want us to be attentive to the voice of God. And the last one is, let's wait actively. Let's wait actively. In other words, as we wait for God's direction, we're saying, since God hasn't called me, I don't know what I'm going to do this morning. So guess what? I'm going to go to my bedroom and I'm going to sleep whole day. And then next day I said, God, the cloud is still there. Okay, I'm going to go back to my bedroom again. The cloud is still there. No. We are going to be active in our life. We will continue doing what God has asked us within our small group, within our community, as we wait upon God to give us more direction. So our waiting, dear people of God, is an active waiting. And if you're in helping with ESL in our church, continue to do that. If you're helping with citizenship classes, continue to do that. If you're helping with Adopt a Miracle program, continue to do that. If you're helping in community, continue to do that as we pause and as we wait and as we listen to God. Because I am so sure that if you're so careful in pausing for God, and if you're so careful in listening to God, and if we act and continue to be godly in our behavior, God will take us to the place where we're supposed to be. Amen? We will be in the promised land which God has promised to God's people. Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much because you're good and wonderful God. You love us so much and you care for us so much. And Lord, you have placed us here on the earth where people have difference of opinion, where people have difference of thinking. And Lord, you have joined us sometime together, Lord. Some of us have married to people with difference of opinion. And Lord, you teach us how to pause and how to be attentively listening to you. And as we wait for your calling, as we wait for your direction, Lord, you want us to be active in, you want us to be active in the good work we are already doing. And so I especially bless for all of us, and especially those who are feeling discouraged, want to give up, want to disconnect, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you will grant your everlasting peace to them. Lord, I pray for our church leadership, our bishops and district superintendents and other people, Lord, that give them wisdom, that they will guide us. They will help us, Lord. As a pastor, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me clarity. Give me direction, Lord. Because we, more than anything else, want to be faithful to you. We want to be like you. We want to be your disciple. We want to look like you. We want to act like you. We want to think like you. And we want to connect like you to other people. And we need your grace. And we need your peace. And we need your wisdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.